the great Fanny Crosby wrote the beautiful hymn which provides our theme for this campaign. God used her back then, and God is still using her today. One of the most moving hymns you'll ever want to hear if you're saved, if you're born again. Fanny Crosby wrote, "Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep over the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently. He will forgive if they only believe. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, chords that are broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing. Duty demands it. Strength for thy labor the Lord will provide." And that particular verse is very important to me because I am not supposed to be preaching over these next 100 days. But duty demands it. Strength for thy labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them. Tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, please stand for the reading of God's holy word. I want to thank all of my children, especially who made my birthday and my youngest son's birthday, when we were born on the same day, and my daughter's birthday, she was born a few days before the 15th, but we've always celebrated our three birthdays together. And I want to thank my oldest daughter, Danny White, Daniela White, we call her Danny for short. I want to thank my oldest son, Daniel White IV, who showed great class on yesterday, great Christian class. And my second oldest daughter, Danita Evangeline White, and the love that they gave to me and showed to me, and how they wished Daniel Ezekiel White and Danielle Elizabeth White a happy birthday as well. And they're all used to us having the birthday on the 15th and together. And I want to thank all of my children who are still here with all that they did as well to give me the greatest birthday I've ever had. My daughter Danae, my daughter Daniqua, my daughter Danielle, and my son, of course, Daniel Ezekiel. And I thank the Lord for all of your well wishes. Even my mother and my sister wished me a happy birthday on yesterday. And, of course, my wife was the first one to wish me a happy birthday. And so it was a wonderful day. But it was wonderful for more than that. it was wonderful because we preached, God blessed me to preach the gospel once again and to commence rescue the perishing, care for the dying, evangelistic campaign. And I want to encourage all of you preachers who are preaching and who are contemplating preaching every day, that as the song says, duty demands it. Strength for thy labor the Lord will provide. And you need to remember that. It's not about you. It's not in you. You don't have the strength to do this, but God does, and he wants it done. Because people are dying. People are perishing. And we know it. And you will be amazed at how many people will get your gospel message and get saved through it. Because you see, the power is not in you, sir. The power is in the gospel and in the word of God. And the power is in the power of the Holy Spirit. It is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And you preach Jesus. You preach the gospel. And you make it plain. And God will direct your message to the people who need it. Stop worrying and fretting and wondering who's watching and all of that and who's listening. Don't worry about that. You just do your job. You preach the holy gospel. You preach the word of God. And have faith in God, as Jesus said. And he will direct the message to the people who need it all around the world. We found out that this is the best time of the day to preach the gospel if you want to reach the whole world. And so you focus on what God called you to do. Give yourself to prayer and to the ministry of the word. That's it. Just do what God told you to do. And he will do the rest, I assure you. Ladies and gentlemen, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 1. As I will preach in your hearing, Jesus and the purpose of the parables. Part 8, just Jesus' evangelistic campaign, day 1,700, since January the 20th and 2017, is updated. Day 2,085, since January the 1st, 2016. Oh, you say, preacher, I thought this was the rescue the perishing, care for the dying campaign. It is. That's a slightly different name, but I can't think of anybody to preach about and to preach on than Jesus Christ. And I will continue to preach about Jesus. By the grace of God, I am basically introducing you to Jesus up front and personal, and showing you how to get to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Matthew 13, 1 through 23. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not. They seeing see not. And hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And by the way, one of the tragedies of life is people who see, but they see not. They do not comprehend, and they do not understand what's going on. And that's one of the great tragedies of life. And it's found throughout the Bible, how people can hear and not hear, see and not see. And that's why God wants us to preach the gospel over and over and over to them. That which you understand, they don't understand it. That's why you have to make it simple and break it down repeatedly. By the way, the true saints, they don't get bored with the preaching of the gospel. People who are hypocrites and Pharisees and Sadducees, they get bored with that. But the gospel, but these same people don't get bored with a politician giving the same stump speech. And hearing they hear not, neither do they understand, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. Isn't that sad, how that you can hear and you can see, but you don't understand? Millions die and go to hell because they don't understand. And seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. That is, save them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear, the purpose of the parables. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, that is the devil, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but doeth for a while. Yet hath he not root in himself, but doeth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness, the lying dishonesty of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. We have over half of the so-called church caught up in this way today. And many of them are not recovering because they have been deceived by riches and prosperity, the prosperity gospel. And this foolishness chokes the word, and these people become unfruitful. They talk a good game, they shout and they run, but they are unfruitful in their personal lives, in their family life, in their soul winning life. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. You ought to be bearing fruit in your personal life. You ought to be bearing fruit as far as witnessing to others and folks getting saved. You may not bear as much fruit as one person or the second person, but you will bear some fruit if you're saved and you're born again and you understand the gospel and salvation. Let's pray. Holy Father God, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace, for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. And we praise you and thank you for your holy word and for all of the millions and many and manifold blessings you have bestowed upon us. Lord, help everybody here on an individual basis, if they want to, according to their will, help them to confess their sins of disobedience, rebelliousness, stubbornness, lying, bad attitudes, selfishness. Lord, grieving and quenching your Holy Spirit. Lord, have it to be so. As the songwriter said, nothing between our soul and the Savior, so that we can be fit to minister your holy word and preach your holy word, and fit to hear your holy word and receive it. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, wash and cleanse our hearts and minds, souls, spirits, and consciences in the precious blood of Christ. And Holy Father God, I pray that you would cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias out of the hearts and minds and lives of people who have that problem, Lord, here and out there. And give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Give us sweet victory over the sins that these demonic spirits produce. Hindrance, distraction, treachery, betrayal, and sabotage. And Holy Father God, we pray that you will also do away with the sins of pride and stubbornness and rebelliousness and bad attitudes and bad spirits that come from these demonic spirits. And give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil, his demons, and his hosts. from this place and from your people and from your people out there all over the world. And Holy Father God, we pray that you would deliver each and every one of us today from temptation, evil, and sin. Grant us your grace for those of us who are born again. Grant us your grace, your strength, your unction, and your anointing, and the power of your Holy Spirit to love right, live right, think right, and do that which is pleasing in your sight. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. And Lord, help all of us today who name the name of Christ to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek your face, and to turn from our wicked ways, and to repent. Grant me your energy, your unction, your anointing, your strength, and the power of your Holy Spirit to preach the gospel and to preach about you, Lord Jesus. Lord, give people understanding. Help them to comprehend. And Lord, I pray that you would save those who are lost. Revive those who are saved. Heal those who are sick. Comfort those who are grieving around the world. In our personal lives, our family life, our church life, our community life, our country, and the world. Have your holy gospel to move upon the hearts of millions by the power of your Holy Spirit and your grace. And Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, glorify your holy name, lift up your holy Son, Jesus Christ, and help people to see him and be saved today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Be they in a hospital, a hospice, at home, suffering. Lord, help them to hear the gospel, understand it, get saved, and to understand that that when they die, they will go to hell if they have not believed in you. They will go to heaven if they believe in you, Lord Jesus. For we pray it in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Warren Wiersbe said, a parable is a story or figure placed alongside a teaching to help us understand its meaning. A parable begins as a picture that arrests our attention and arouses our interest. But as we study the picture, it becomes a mirror in which we suddenly see ourselves. If we continue to look by faith, the mirror becomes a window through which we see God, through which we see Jesus Christ and his truth. How we respond to that truth will determine what further truth God will teach us, and it will determine whether or not we go to heaven or hell. And so, beloved, in our last message, we looked at how some people receive the seed, receive the seed of the gospel or the gospel with joy, but fall away when trouble comes. We dealt with that on last time. We must be firmly rooted in Jesus Christ and established in the faith so that we will not fall away when trouble comes. So many so-called Christians who were in church before the plague pandemic, they have fallen away because they didn't have any deepness of earth in the first place. Instead, we will endure to the end, and as the Bible says, if we suffer for Jesus, we will also reign with Jesus. And so, ladies and gentlemen, today, Some people hear the gospel or the seed of the gospel, but their focus on the world chokes out the word. Matthew 13:7 says, "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them." The cares of this life, the world, and all of the shiny objects. So many people who claim that they got saved got swept away by running after the world. And it's so sad today, as you know, people. We have more Christians today trying to be like the world instead of reach the world. They are ashamed of Jesus. They are ashamed of the Word of God and what the Word of God says. They want to fit in. This includes preachers, pastors. They want to be in the in crowd, the in group. And they will compromise the Word of God and spit on their mother to be in the in crowd so that they will think that they are somebody. Jesus Christ provides the explanation in verse 22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, people striving to pay for stuff they should have never bought in the first place, and they have care, they have stress, they have burdens, because it is the American way to live your life that way, to go into debt and work for the rest of your life to pay off stuff that you thought would impress people and they didn't even notice it, not even your friends in the church, your brothers and sisters in Christ. How many of you bought something that you thought was going to impress somebody and nobody paid any attention to it? You know, God does that. He's trying to help you out. People can care less about what you buy. They're not interested in that. The cares of this life, running to and fro, trying to keep up with the Joneses and the Smiths and the Johnsons who don't even like you and you don't like them. Your connection, your relationship extends to the point of just waving when you're going outside the door. You don't know them and they don't know you and they don't want to know you and you don't want to know them. But you do want to impress them, which is so stupid. The cares of this world, the cares of this life. And Jesus said, the deceitfulness of riches. Millions of, I feel so sorry for some rich people who they strive and strive for more and more riches, and the more they do so, the more empty they are, including Christians. See, striving for riches and money and material things, it makes you empty. And there's nothing like being empty. You don't have any real purpose that's worthwhile other than gaining more money. To do what? Do you really need $60 billion? For what? To do what? Is it really making you happy? The answer is no. There are people who are millionaires jumping off of roofs every day. killing themselves every day. Just recently, very sad, crazy story. Major law firm, major law family, they had arrived, they made it. One day, you know, as the rich children do and young people do, and they do stuff like, you know, going out boating on the father's yacht to boat and so forth and showing off and everything like that. And one beautiful young lady got killed. She died. I think she drowned. This happened in South Carolina, I believe. Prominent family. It unraveled from there. Let me tell you something, people. You can start something, and you can do something. If you're not hooked up to God through Jesus Christ, that can unravel and just wreak havoc in your life. Well, the parents and the family of the beautiful girl, young lady, evidently they didn't feel like the family was acting properly. And they got with some folks and they killed the mother and the son. The son who they blamed for killing their daughter. They left the father to suffer. And he was suffering big time because, and these folks are rich. They have it all. They have it all. But just as cold and empty and dead on the inside. And when you get to thinking like this right here, you know, the devil is behind it. The father found somebody to kill him, to blow his brains out. Now these folks are rich. So that his son, who was left, his other son, can get a life insurance policy worth $10 million. The deceitfulness of riches. I feel so sorry for rich people. You say, you feel sorry for rich people? Don't you want some of their money? No, I don't. If they want to donate something for me to preach the gospel, well, it's not going to mean anything to me. I'm not impressed with rich people. I'm not impressed with big fine houses on Pork Chop Hill. I'm not impressed with people's fine cars and all of that. That doesn't mean anything to me because it doesn't mean anything to me personally. So it certainly does not mean anything to me because you have it. I feel sorry for you because you're running around and trying to pay for all of that stuff. And not enjoying the life that God has given you. Do you know there are people who have been born and they have died, but they never lived. Never lived. They never fulfilled their higher purpose. They were too busy with the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches, which choke the word, Jesus Christ said, and he becometh what? Unfruitful. I may not be rich, but by the grace of God, I'm fruitful. Souls are getting saved. Lives are being changed. Christians are being encouraged in the faith. And when after I finish preaching, sometimes it's difficult. The devil fights me to get to the pulpit to preach. But after I finish preaching, I have a great sense of fulfillment and satisfaction. I could be doing anything, but God told me to rescue the perishing and care for the dying. And I get a great sense of fulfillment and joy and satisfaction in doing so. You can be rich and unfruitful. You can have a big fine house on Pork Chop Hill in a gated community and be unfruitful. That's sad. You can be all caught up in the world and unfruitful. You can have the best education, but unfruitful. Beloved, we are warned often in the Bible about the dangers of loving this world over and over and over again. The Bible tells us, love not the world, neither the things in the world. Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Is your treasure with God? Dear saint of mine, is your treasure with Jesus? Are you willing to rescue the perishing and care for the dying? We thank God for those people who meet the physical needs of people that needs to be done. But isn't it strange that we don't get too many people who want to meet the spiritual needs of people? That's more difficult. But it must be done. It should be done. That's what this campaign is about. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. I'm trying to focus your attention on that. People are dying. And yet we in the church, the government, universities, the CDC, World Health Organization, all kinds of groups and doctors are telling us hundreds of thousands of folk are going to die and the church does nothing. Every preacher in America ought to be taking advantage of the internet and everything on the internet that allows us to preach the gospel to the entire world. And these are things that God has wrought and given to us to use for his glory, to spread the gospel around the world. But we have many preachers and many people who just sit down and watch the news and say tis, tis, and shake their heads about thousands upon thousands who are dying. Rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Fulfill your true purpose in life and tell others about Jesus. Give out gospel tracts. Preach the gospel from your church pulpit in an empty church. Preach the gospel from your church office. Sit down, I don't care. Sit down and preach the gospel. Stand up. If you're old and you can't stand up to preach, preach, sit down and preach it. Stand up and preach it. Preach it from outside. Preach it from inside. Preach it from your kitchen table. Preach the gospel by any means necessary. Because, see, the power is in the gospel, my dear friend. Don't worry about it. You just preach the gospel. You make it plain. And God will take that message and he'll find the people. He wants to hear it. You mark my words. He'll do it. It's all him. It's all of grace, as Church, Charles Spurgeon said. It's all of grace, man. Don't worry about if anybody's listening. Don't worry about if anybody's watching and all of that. You have your technical people to do what they need to do. And God will find the people live and on demand to hear the gospel message. God will do it. He'll get the people. He's more concerned about souls being saved than you'll ever be. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That means get saved. Have you ever noticed that when you start talking to people about getting saved by believing in Jesus Christ, they instinctively know that means repentance? They already know it. They know that their life must change if they're going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why they say things like, well, you know, you're right, preacher. I need to get saved. But, you know, let me let me go clean my life up first. And you see that? Hear that? They know instinctively that when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are repenting. It's all done at the same time. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 through 10 says, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts." And by the way, God is saying a lot here. "Which drown men in destruction and perdition." Many Christians who ran with the prosperity gospel, they're in perdition, and they're drowning in their foolishness and in their sin. And they right now, they don't know what to do. They have never really had a close relationship with the Lord. It was all about pursuing riches and money and prosperity and trying to outdo other people, trying to impress people. "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. There are thousands of millionaires who crawl up into their bed and go into a fetal position every night because of loving money. They're not happy, they're not satisfied, so they go from thrill to thrill. They think that because they can get on a private plane and go to St. Bart's or go to the Virgin Islands or go to Hawaii, and I've been to all of these places to preach the gospel. And even as a young man, before I got married, and the problems that I had in Atlanta, where I departed from, Hartsfield Airport there in Atlanta. I think it's named Maynard Jackson Airport now. Maynard Jackson, Jackson Hartsfield or something. That's where I flew out of all over the world. And if I had some problems before I left Atlanta, guess what? Somehow those problems traveled with me to the beautiful green water of the Virgin Islands. Now you know you got some blue water when it's green. It's so clean and pure. When I went to Hawaii, when I went to Alaska to preach the gospel, whatever problems I had in Atlanta, I still had them once I landed in Alaska and Hawaii. You can't run away from what's happening in your soul and in your spirit and in your mind and in your life. You see, this is why people are moving and trying to go here and there, trying to find some kind of relief. Once you get there, you got the same problem. Your phone is going to ring. You're dealing with the same Negroes, including yourself. And you think, then you think getting with somebody else is going to solve your problem. And that's going to make things worse, because you already have somebody else. See. Mark 10:25 says, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." Why? Because he loves that money so much, and he'll do anything to keep that money going in, coming in. There are some people who will sell their souls for money. And when you're selling your body, you're selling your soul to make a payment. I know there's a lot being said about the Me Too movement, and I'm glad of it. God has blessed me with many daughters. And so I'm glad. I'm glad, and I'm glad it happened before my daughters moved out. I talked with one of my daughter's bosses, and I talked with him about sexual harassment, because I know how things are in offices. And he said, "Listen, I got." He said, "Sir, you don't have to worry about a thing. We have a rock solid policy here, And if anybody harasses your daughter, she can sue. Straight up. And I was glad to hear that. And Dr. Matthew Henry said, prosperity destroys the word in the heart as much as persecution does for some. Worldly cares are compared to thorns. Let me tell you how I avoid worldly cares. First of all, listen to me very carefully, and I'm trying to help you. Do not get caught up with pay. You have a whole lot of bills to pay. You got 20 bills you need to pay every month, all that kind of stuff like that. That's worldly cares, man. You see, a preacher like me, I can't be bothered with stuff like that. So I live a very simple and Spartan life so that I can be free to do what God called me to do. I may not have what you have. I don't want what you have. I want to do this. I want to be free to do this. Glory be to God. I have 2 bills. That's it. What? And you live in America? That's right. I have 2 bills because God led me to do something years ago so that I could be in this position to proclaim the gospel freely. Don't have to be begging folks for money. I thank God for my children who grown and on their own, who sin more than anybody else because they know the value of this ministry and work. They were raised in it. And they see the impact of it around the world. And I thank God for that. I don't ask them to do that. And they don't just send $20 and which would be great, $50, and they don't do that for some reason. And I give God the glory. And I thank God for the others who support and give. But we are not going to go under and get to the point where I can't preach the gospel because I'm caught up with the cares of this world. I'm not going to do that. I am going to choose to live a simple life like John the Baptist, like Jesus, and so that I'm free to preach the gospel whenever the Lord wants me to. Worldly cares are compared to thorns, for they came in with sin and are a fruit of the curse. Worldly cares are great hindrances to our profiting by the word of God and preaching the gospel and preaching the word of God and our proficiency in faith and religion. They eat up that vigor of soul, don't they? See, God put this in my heart years ago. I want you free, son, to preach the gospel. I don't want you encumbered with a whole bunch of bills you got to pay and so forth and so forth and so on. Because, see, when God called me a long time ago, way before I got married, he called me to full-time Christian service. And here's how he called me. He said, son, somebody has to be a full-time for me. I foolishly still wanted to help the Lord and get little odd-end jobs so I can, you know, have my own money, so to speak. And that's precisely what God didn't want me to do. Because he wanted complete control over my life so that if I didn't do what he said, he would pull the blessings and he would pull the funding and he would pull the support. And God taught me a long time ago to fear him and to respect him and to obey him. That's why I'm here today. They eat up that vigor of soul which should be spent in divine things. See, I would not be fired up like I am this morning on the second day of this campaign when I'm not even supposed to be here. For the preaching of the gospel, like I've been all morning long. In fact, I've already preached several times already this morning, three times, taught the word three times already this morning. And by the grace of God, this is really my fourth message of the day. And so I would not be fired up about this if I was caught up with the cares of this world, trying to juggle a whole bunch of different things that pulls you away from the main calling that God has for you. The apostles took care of it when they made it very clear, we're going to give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And that's basically all I do. And that's basically what I encourage all pastors and preachers to do. You focus on prayer and the ministry of the word. You get more done for God that way and for people by focusing on that. You got to let other people feed the people and make sure the people have food, make sure the people have a place to stay. You got to have other good quality people to take care of that. You don't have time to be dealing with that. You say, I thought you were supposed to care for the people and be a minister and feed the people and make sure they have a place to stay. I pray for you. I pray for you every day. That's the most important thing I can do for you, or anybody else can do for you. And I'm going to preach the gospel and preach the word of God to encourage, if you're saved, to encourage you in the faith. But more importantly, if you're not saved, to get you saved. That's the greatest thing I can do for you. There are other people who are more equipped and they have the gift of helps. I don't have the gift of helps. I let the people who got to have the gift, and I thank God for the people like that, who know how to take care of people, get people fed and get people in a place to stay and all that. And you're going to need this more and more. That's a part of the ministry as well. But I am not going to get involved with that. And I don't recommend any preacher who's truly called by God to get involved with that. You don't have time. You need to be preaching the gospel every day. People are perishing. Care for the dying. People are going to hell. I don't have time to be trying to make sure you got a plate for the day. Are you kidding me? I don't have time for that. No. People are perishing. I'm about rescuing the perishing, caring for the dying. You still living. You talking about a plate. I don't have time for that. You can let other people do that. And the church should lead the way in that. Sadly, the church, many churches are not leading the way in that. They can, if they wanted to. The cares of this world, they eat up the vigor, that vigor of soul and spirit, which should be spent in divine things, worshiping God, obeying God, preaching for God, serving God first and foremost. And by the way, who told you that church is the only place where you can serve God? That's a lie of hell. And by the way, I'm inviting all born-again Christians, not just ordained preachers, to get on your podcast and preach the gospel. I don't care if you're male or female. You can do that. Share the gospel for 100 days straight. God will bless you. And God will bless many other people. On your podcast, on your YouTube channel, on your Vimeo channel, on your GodTube channel, on Facebook, on Twitter. They may shut you down, but that's all right. You'll be all right. God will work it out. These things, these cares of the world and riches divert and distract us in duty and do us most mischief of all afterwards, quenching the sparks of good affections and bursting the cords of good resolutions. Those who are careful and cumbered about many things commonly neglect the one thing needful. I'm going to go out here and feed 1,000 people. That's great, but did you pray? There's more hell that goes on in the church, in your family, in your ministry, in your business, that would not go on if you prayed first. Seriously, people. Have you prayed to God who made you? Have you acknowledged Him in all your ways? Is He directing your path? How many of you prayed at least once in your life? You prayed in the morning, you had about 10,000 things on your to-do list, and God told you in the prayer, take 9,980 things off. I'll take care of that. Here's what I want you to do. Prayer can save you a whole lot of time and a whole lot of trouble. And at the same time, prayer can cause you some trouble because the devil does not want you to pray. You got to take the good and the bad now. See, that's what you don't like. You don't want to take that. Some of you sweet little evangelicals and you sweet little charismatics, especially with that right there. Oh, honey, I can't take no bad. Now don't put that on me. Don't speak those words. And you people have lost your righteous minds. When you pray, all true Christians know, when you start praying like you're supposed to, by yourself, with your family, you're going to catch hell sometimes, oftentimes. But God is also going to bless you and open up doors for you and pave the way for you. And it's going to be, by the end of the day, you may be beat up a little bit, but you would have accomplished what God wanted you to accomplish. Then at that point, you ought to sit down somewhere and enjoy a meal and do something you like to do. Not only that, when you pray and read the Bible like you're supposed to, God will give you margin in the day so that you can relax a little bit. I feel sorry for people who get up running, run all day long, and then they run to the bed out of breath. That's not how you ought to live. Those who have raised estates, and so the danger that arises from care seems to be over. And they continue hearers of the word are still in a snare. It is hard for them to enter into the kingdom of heaven. They are apt to promise themselves that in riches, which is not in them, to rely upon them, and to take an inordinate complacency in them. And this chokes the word of God in their lives. It chokes out prayer as much as worldly cares do. Observe, as only Dr. Matthew Henry can say it, it is not so much riches as the deceitfulness of riches, being deceived by riches, that does the mischief. They cannot be said to be deceitful to us unless we put our confidence in them and raise our expectations from them. And then it is that they choke the good seed that has been planted in the people. Is that you, dear friend? You're under conviction about that right now? Confess your sins. Repent of your sins and show forth the fruits of repentance. You might need to sell your house if that is got you all caught up with the cares of this life. And you're running to and fro, and you have to work 3 and 4 and 5 jobs to keep your house. One of the beautiful things about living a simple life is that you can do significant things that matter and that help people. And it's not always about you and running everywhere and trying to juggle a whole bunch of things and be under stress and distress. You may need to sell your car that's costing you about $700, $800 a month. For what? I mean, you could possibly buy a car cash, a used car, and it will do the same thing. It will get you from point A to point B. Let's be honest. Some of the cars people buy, they're designed to impress. They don't need the car. It's designed to impress others. I'm hoping that the plague pandemic is helping people get off of that foolishness. How are you doing? Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your words. They are beyond wise, and they are powerful. Help people around the world to take heed to your holy word and get off the treadmill. Stop trying to impress people and live a simple lifestyle so that they can be free to serve you and have true fulfillment in their lives. And Lord, help them to stop allowing the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches to choke your word out of their lives. And then they get to the point of compromising on your word and doing some anything to make it. God, have mercy and grace upon these souls and forgive them of their sins, for they know not what they do. Now, Lord, save those who are lost under the sound of my voice. Help them to comprehend and help them to understand the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help me to make it plain to them by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you're with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for your soul's salvation from the power of sin, the pain of sin, and the punishment of sin in that awful place called hell. First, dear friends, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. You have broken God's commandments. So have I. So has the Pope. So has the Dalai Lama. So has even Joel Osteen, the pastor of the largest church in America, and a pastor named David, I forget his last name, who pastor the largest church in the world in South Korea. He was a sinner too. We're all sinners. For the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So you're just like we are. You say, well, not me. I have not sinned. I certainly have not sinned like other people. Have you ever told a lie? You just did. Have you ever stolen anything at all in your life? Have you ever lusted or coveted in your heart after people or things? Have you ever dishonored your parents? Have you ever disobeyed your parents? This is a serious crime, a serious sin in God's sight. Have you ever dishonored God by taking His name in vain? That's just five of the Ten Commandments, my dear friend. Do you want me to go on? Have you ever committed adultery? And on we can go. I would assume if you are of age, you have. And that makes you a sinner just like me. Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. Always, all the way through life, there is punishment for sin. And quite frankly, I'm impressed with the court system in America today. Cases that were scheduled, they're going right on, even if the people and the judges have to be behind a screen somewhere. Why? Because justice must roll on. Sins have to be dealt with. A popular rapper is going to jail for almost 20 years for using money the wrong way, basically stealing money. That's in the news today. You would not think people have time for court cases like that, but they make time because the justice system must roll on. And the same thing in our lives about the sins we commit against God. They will be dealt with. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin, the payment of sin is death. In other words, the Bible also says it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment, you may be living today, and you cannot even imagine dying, but you will die, and you will die because of your sinful nature and your sinful choices. We are sinners by nature, and therefore we choose to sin. And so therefore we will be held responsible because God created us free moral agents. We can choose to do good, and we can choose to do bad, whether we're saved or lost, by the way. If you're saved, God will help you not to sin. So you need to get saved. We die physically, the body goes to a grave, the soul goes to hell if we don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of our sins. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8, wherefore if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Jesus Christ, by the way, preached more on hell than any prophet, more on hell than any apostle or teacher or writer in the Bible. He preached more on hell than he did about heaven. So excuse me, but Jesus Christ, the loving Savior, was a hellfire and brimstone preacher, and he did that in love too. Well, I just can't believe that God would put anybody in hell, that Jesus would put anybody in hell. They're just too loving. Well, first of all, God does not put you in hell. Jesus Christ does not put you in hell. You're going to put yourself in hell if you don't believe in Jesus Christ. God has done all he could do to save you from hell. He is not willing. He does not want you to go to hell. He would rather for you to come to repentance, get saved, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, hell is a bad place, hell is a sad place, and hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, the most wonderful, most loving, and most important words ever said to mankind, when he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart. You might be under a ventilator listening to me. You can't speak. I can't hear you. But you hear God's word, and you understand it. You might be in the hospital, in a hospital bed. Somebody put some earphones on your ears to hear this message. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. I'm coming for you. More importantly, God is coming for you because he loves you. For God so loved the world. Are you in this world? Well, then God loves you. Red, yellow, black, or white, we're all precious in God's sight. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, dear friend, just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will. The Bible says further in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world, including your sin. He is the sacrificial Passover Lamb for everybody, not just the Jews, but for everybody. And all you have to do is look to him and believe in him. We do not preach ourselves because we can't help you. We can't save you. We preach Jesus Christ, because he has the power to save you if you believe in him. So do that now and follow me in what is the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart, believing in your heart in none other than Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by the power of God. Holy Father God, I acknowledge and I admit that I am a sinner, and that I have done evil in your sight by breaking your Ten Commandments. I understand that I deserve to go to hell, to spend eternity. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, my failures and my faults, as I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose from the dead by your power. Lord, I'm just doing what you told me to do in John 3:16. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe in you. Please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of all of my sins and to turn away from my evil life and to follow you, Lord Jesus Christ, in the new life. For it is in your holy name I pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by the power of God, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. So, dear friend, if you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my dear friends, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, by the grace of God, we'll be back here around the same time tomorrow morning. God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good is my prayer. Let's all stand for our closing prayer. Holy Father God in heaven, we praise you and we thank you for what you have done here today, for what you're doing and for what you will do. Lord, save millions is my prayer request based upon your holy word. Ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Lord, if you have not done it already, I'm still praying for over 3 million souls to be saved. And Lord, I pray that you would inspire other preachers, Lord, to preach your holy gospel as well all around the world through the wonderful tools that you have wrought. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. For all of us, do your holy name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. God bless you, dear friends. Until next time.